Today is the Feast of Christ the King. It is also the 21st Sunday after Pentecost, and there will be a proper last gospel from that Mass today. The epistle for the Mass today is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1. Brethren, we give thanks to God the Father, who hath made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For in him were all things created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominations or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and in him. And he is before all, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may hold the primacy, because in him it hath well pleased the Father, that all fullness should dwell, and through him to reconcile all things unto himself, making peace through the blood of his cross, both as to the things that are on earth and the things that are in heaven, in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 18. At that time, Pilate said to Jesus, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or have others told it thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thy own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee up to me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would certainly strive that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence." Pilate therefore said to him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. For this was I born, and for this came I into the world, that I should give testimony to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. Jesus answered, "Thou shouldst not have any power against me, unless it were given thee from above." These words are taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 19, which is the very next chapter after today's Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, a couple weeks ago I spoke to you about two events that took place in 1917. That crucial year in history, which did shape the modern history we have today. These events were Our Lady's six apparitions at Fatima and the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia. The Russian Revolution, however, was not the only revolution of the early 20th century. Mexico, too, was devastated by a revolution that was provoked and sustained by the godless men of the time. You see, at that time, Mexico was in the grasp of the Freemasons. In fact, according to Catholic historians, that secret society had actually held a firm foothold in Mexico since the mid-1800s. And the ultimate goal of Freemasonry, as you may recall, and as Pope Pius XI wrote of in his encyclical Humanum Genus, is the utter overthrow of that whole religious and political order and the substitution of a new state of things, a state of things which naturally leads to an atheistic socialist state. In other words, as a certain priest writes, Freemasonry wants to remake the world by starting a new gospel around a new religion, where all men are in agreement. And thus, we may say that the socialist and the communist revolutions in the various countries down through the years have in some fashion been inspired by Freemasonry. Now, the revolution in Mexico began in 1910. The president of Mexico at that time was a man by the name of Porfirio Diaz. Porfirio Diaz was not a practicing Catholic, but he was, in a sense, friendly to the Catholic Church. That is, he left the Church alone. He did not enforce any anti-clerical laws. He did not enforce anything against the faithful. And thus, there was peace during his 31 years of presidency. But in 1910, calls for his resignation began to sound throughout Mexico. As the revolutionaries of Russia stirred the people up against Tsar Nicholas II, so too did the revolutionaries of Mexico incite the people against President Diaz. Uprisings and riots began breaking out in various cities and villages. Publications were written against President Diaz. He was, as Tsar Nicholas II was, accused of being a failure. And he was even charged with electoral fraud in the presidential elections of 1911. President Diaz was thus forced to resign his office in May of 1911. And with his resignation, Mexicans witnessed the rise of anti-Catholic, Freemasonic presidents in Mexico, and consequently, religious persecution. In 1917, the very year in which Our Lady appeared at Fatima and the Russian Revolution occurred, in 1917, a new constitution was enacted in Mexico. And this constitution was but the logical outcome of the Mexican Revolution. It laid the foundation for a socialist state in Mexico, even as it imposed heavy restrictions on the Catholic Church. You see, at this time in 1917, the president of Mexico was a man named Venustiano Carranza. And he, as a certain historian tells us, was openly wedded to Marxist ideology. That is to say, he was imbued with socialist and communist doctrines, which were propounded by Karl Marx. In fact, this historian goes on to say that under Carranza's leadership, the Mexican government became the first sovereign state in the Western Hemisphere to recognize the Soviet Union of Lenin and Trotsky. And thus did the 1917 Constitution of Mexico pave the way for a Freemasonic socialist state and set the stage for a persecution of the Church in Mexico. Now, while Carranza and his successor, a man named Alvaro Obregón, while they were hateful towards the Church, and they even persecuted Catholics to a certain extent, they were nothing compared to President Plutarco Elias Calles. Calles, as you may recall from history, was monstrous. And what he did to the Catholic Church and the faithful of Mexico was absolutely diabolical. He was sworn in as president of Mexico in 1924, and he wasted no time in plunging Mexico into the most severe crisis in her history. You see, Calles was a militant, vocal atheist and a 33rd degree Freemason. It's a very high-ranking Mason. He therefore made it his business to enact and enforce policies to persecute and, if possible, obliterate the Catholic Church in Mexico. This he did to ensure that only the government would have the freedom to form the minds of Mexico's citizens. In 1924, Calles declared, "The physical revolution is complete. Now there must be a psychological revolution. We must penetrate," he said, "and take hold of the minds of the children and of the youth, because they must belong to the revolution." Calles thus began stepping up the governmental oppression in opposition to the Catholic Church. Catholic schools were outlawed and confiscated. Public school attendance was made mandatory for all children. And atheism was taught as an approved course in all the schools. And as a result, the right of parents to educate their children was taken away. And they were obliged by law to send their children to these public schools where they would be indoctrinated with militant atheism. 2 years later, in 1926, using the 1917 Constitution of Mexico as his guide, Calles outlawed the Catholic Church in Mexico, and one of the bloodiest chapters in Mexico's history began. Some of the Mexican faithful were rounded up and sent to concentration camps, where many either died of disease or were executed for manifesting signs of Catholic piety. Catholics who defied the government had their homes and their property burned to the ground. Those who kept crucifixes or holy pictures in their homes were fined or imprisoned. Statues were removed from churches, and they were desecrated in the streets. On at least one occasion, the hands of a priest were cut off so he could not offer Mass ever again. There's even an account of a certain priest giving absolution to a man dying of a gunshot wound. He was seen by guards who seized him, broke his hand, and mutilated him in his eyes, his nose, and his ears. And they even cut out his tongue. Just for giving absolution to a dying man. Tens of thousands were tortured, and they were put to death for the faith. Many in ways which are too brutal to describe. And thus, as one historian tells us, under Calles, the full weight of persecution broke out and ultimately provoked what history calls the War of the Cristeros. The Cristeros, as you may recall, were Catholics who fought back militarily with guns, hand grenades, and other weapons against the oppression of President Calles. According to one author, Mexican Catholics were moved to take up arms in the wake of the bombing of the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe and the desecration and destruction of Mexico's first statue of Christ the King. This was the proverbial last straw. And this, the author says, was the foundation for the battle cry of the Cristeros. Viva Cristo Rey. Viva Santa Maria de Guadalupe. Long live Christ the King. And long live Holy Mary of Guadalupe. Thousands of men thus rose up in defense of Christ the King and Our Lady, and they united into an army. And for 3 years, from 1926 to 1929, they fought not for themselves. They fought for the Catholic faith, for Jesus and Mary, and for Mexico. They rallied Mexican Catholics behind them with their courage and their faith. And by laying down their lives for that faith, they stood strong for Christ the King. One Cristero leader was captured, and he was tied to a stake, where he was tortured. As the soldiers tortured him, he cried out for all to hear, Viva Cristo Rey! So the soldiers cut out his tongue. Unable to speak, he was able to pull one hand free from the rope, and with it, he pointed defiantly to heaven. And so the soldiers cut off his hand. Eventually, they beat him to death with their rifles. But this soldier and so many other Mexican Catholics like him, stood in the face of the government's hatred of God and the Catholic Church. He, like so many other Cristeros, stood to defend the liberty of Catholics and to ensure that the faith would not be ruthlessly stamped out in Mexico, but instead that it might be preserved. He, like countless Mexican Catholics of the time, knew, as St. Peter said, that we ought to obey God rather than men. And even though the odds were against the Cristeros, these heroic men truly believed that God was in control of the situation, and that no matter what happened, God would see them through it. Thus, whether they were outnumbered in battle, weakened from injury, or just plain exhausted, the Cristeros knew in their hearts that Calles and his agents had no power over them, that these godless men could do nothing unless it was permitted by God for one reason or another. And thus, inspired by this confidence, they fought bravely. And by 1929, 75% of Mexico was under the command and control of the victorious Cristeros. It was in this same tone of confidence, my dear friends, that our divine Savior spoke to Pontius Pilate when he was interrogated by him. In today's gospel, we read about the first time Christ was interviewed by Pilate, the time in which our Lord declared that he was indeed a king, but not of this world. But later on that first Good Friday, Pilate again questioned Christ. After he had released Barabbas at the choice of the mob, ordered our Lord to be scourged, showed him to the people, and said, "Ecce homo, behold the man." After all of that, Pilate again met with the bruised and bloodied eternal Son of God, and he put this question to him: "Whence art thou? Where do you come from?" But our Lord gave no answer. He remained silent. And this silence aggravated Pontius Pilate. And so Pilate said to him, "Speakest thou not to me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee?" In other words, what Pilate was saying to our Lord was this: "Speak to me. Don't you know that I have the power to put thee to death or to set thee free? Speak to me." It was then that our Lord uttered those solemn words, words of confidence, words that should inspire each and every one of us: "Thou shouldst not have any power against me," Christ said, "unless it were given thee from above." That is to say, you have no power. You can do nothing unless my heavenly Father permits it. And that, my dear friends, that is as true now as it was then. As Pilate could do nothing to our divine Savior unless it were permitted by God, by his heavenly Father, neither can the enemies of God and the faith today do anything unless God permits it. And when God permits it, he always has a very good reason. It was this realization that spurred on the Cristeros to stand up against the evils that threaten Mexico. And it must be this realization that spurs us on to stand up against the evils that threaten the United States of America. For today, my dear friends, our country is threatened by the same diabolic forces that threatened Mexico in the early 20th century. There are politicians in our government who want nothing more than to drag the United States of America into the mire of socialism. There are politicians who want nothing more than to destroy the great country we have. And who, like President Calles, would like nothing more than to see God and the Catholic faith extirpated from our great nation. We must therefore be the Cristeros of the United States of America. We must stand up to defend the liberty of Catholics and to ensure that the faith will not be stamped out here in our country, but instead that it might be preserved. And this we must do chiefly by praying the rosary devoutly every single day. For the Cristero war of our time is mainly a spiritual war. And Our Lady herself declared to Saint Dominic, in this kind of warfare, this spiritual warfare, the battering ram, the great weapon, is the Holy Rosary. Let us take that weapon up and let us use it for ourselves, for our family, and for our country. We must furthermore be ever ready to obey God rather than men, ever ready to refuse going along with the sinful ways of the world. And even though it would seem that the odds are against us, we must have a firm conviction and a holy hope that God is in control of the situation, and that no matter what happens in the upcoming weeks, months, or years, no matter what happens, God will see us through. The revolution in Mexico, writes a certain Marxist socialist, the revolution in Mexico could have been the basis for a complete social overturn in Mexico on the lines of the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia of 1917. But he says this ultimately did not happen. He says ultimately this revolution remained incomplete, unfinished, and botched. In a word, this socialist is saying that the Mexican Revolution failed. And it failed, he said, because unlike Russia, the Mexicans failed to find a revolutionary leader like to Lenin and Trotsky. Now, while this may be true, while the Mexican revolutionaries may not have had someone of the caliber of a Lenin or a Trotsky, while it may be true that that might be the human explanation why the revolution did not succeed as the Russian Revolution did, I believe that the real reason that the revolution in Mexico failed, as this man put it, is because of the prayers of Mexican Catholics and because of their devotion to Christ the King and Our Lady of Guadalupe, as well as by the readiness of so many to stand up for the faith. I don't believe they had that in Russia in 1917. May this, my dear friends, be the case in our country. May our Catholic people, our American Catholic people, by their prayers and their sacrifices, by their devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, as well as by their readiness to stand up for the faith, may they too bridge the gap and turn aside the storm of socialism and godlessness that threatens our country. In the end, we know the Sacred Heart will conquer. In the end, we know the Immaculate Heart of Mary will triumph. In the end, Christ will reign as king and Mary as queen. But until that time comes, may we trust in God and fight like true soldiers of Jesus Christ. By our actions, may we make the battle cry of the Cristeros our own. And by the way we conduct ourselves in these turbulent times, may we let the world hear those glorious words, Viva Cristo Rey, long live Christ the King. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.